we are going to talk about in Parshas Vayechi, Tavshin Ayin Hey, Yisachar being compared to a donkey. The pasuk says the bracha given over by Yaakov Avinu to Yisachar. It says Yisachar Hamor Gorem, Robeit Spinemish Besoyim. The Yisachar is a donkey that is strong boned, who lies down between Mish Besoyim is going to be a little bit of a question, but let's just say between the columns, between the different columns. So our question is why Yisachar is going to be compared to a donkey. A donkey is obviously a tummy animal, although they are hardworking and does represent a hardworking individual. Nonetheless, it is a little bit strange that Yisachar is called a donkey, especially somebody who is well known for learning Torah. So what does that mean exactly? So Rashi says, a donkey is very strong. A donkey can hold huge burdens on its back and it can hold all that weight on its back. And that's the way a Talmid Chacham is supposed to be. He's got to be able to hold the burden, the yoke of Torah upon his back, which is never ending, everlasting, always being able to do it. You got to travel all day and night like a donkey does and never get tired even at night. Instead, it leans up against the walls, waiting there, right, resting while standing up. So too a Talmid Chacham. Talmid Chacham needs to forego his own sleep. He needs to be able to be willing to travel the land to attain the greatest amount of knowledge that he can possibly get out of his levels of learning. That's the way Talmid Chacham should be. So therefore, Rashi's idea is that Yisachar is like a donkey because the way to be a Talmid Chacham is to act like a donkey would act. Okay, that's that. Yonas Menuziel brings down Chamid Beoraisa. That Chamir Beoraisa, I'm sorry. That Chamir, Chamor is Chamir Beoraisa. He's so indelibly filled with Torah that he can't think of anything else. He knows how to learn and he does it well. Chamor, says the Chidah, is the gematria of 255. Because there are 248 mitzvos aseh, 7 mitzvos midrabanan, right? And if you learn them well, garam means to gamar. To learn them, you get chamor garam. That's the idea that it says, if he does it all. Okay, so that's that. The Rabbeinu Fine says there's a ton of hints in this passage that we're talking about a Talmid Chacham. First of all, there are 6 words. Yisachar, chamor, garam, robeit, bein, hamish, besoyin, which refers to the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the 6 orders of Mishnayos. There are 24 letters. You know, I actually didn't count that up. Check it out for a second. 5 plus 3 is 8, plus 3 is 11, plus 3 is 14, plus 3 is 17, and then plus 7. 17 plus 7 is 24. So 24 letters for Tanakh, the 24 books of Tanakh. It starts with a Yud for the Aseret Dibros, ends with a Mem. The Torah was given in 40 days, and the first letter of Torah Shebal Peh is Me'emosai, right, which is the first letter of Brachos. That's a Mem. That's it, to be honest. You see that ingrained in the Pasuk is this concept of all Torah ideas, this type of idea over here. That's the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now the Zohar. I'm sorry, I didn't look up the Zohar. I'm sorry. Not into that just yet. Eventually it will be. But I saw this quoted. The Zohar says the following. It says, why the donkey? If you want to show strength in Torah, why not say a lion? Why not say an eagle? Why not say something that's like a strong type of animal, as the Zohar? And why would a donkey be a better representation of what Torah is to show strength in Torah? And the answer is, here's the important part about a donkey. The important part about a donkey is that when it carries huge burdens, it doesn't kick back. A lion, when it's upset about something, will roar. A horse, when it's upset about something, will kick back at its master. But a donkey never fights back. It takes whatever you give it, and even if you overload it with enough stuff that it can't handle the amount of burden that you have on it, it'll still accept it and just be like, all right. As for example, is anybody here when read Winnie the Pooh? And if you haven't, you're not human.
It's been a while.
Remember Winnie the Pooh? Do you remember Eeyore?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't really know if Eeyore was a donkey or a mule, and technically he was a stuffed creature, so I don't know if he was either one specifically. Let's make the assumption that Eeyore was a donkey. Eeyore is the one that takes all the burdens of everything that happens and just sort of sighs and like, alright, if I have to, I guess I'm gonna be that guy. That's Eeyore. That's the way a donkey is. A donkey just sort of like lives its life, always has its head down, willing to do more and more and more. It's natural humility, says the Zohar, accepting whatever burden it's given. That's the way to be a Talmid Chacham. It doesn't even have normal sleeping arrangements. You're asking to do all this work for it, and then you put it up against the column. And you just sleep with your back against the column over there. So too with anybody who accepts the yoke of Torah. Don't expect much in Olam Hazeh. It's not like you're going to get a great salary. I know I've been fooling you for a long time. I don't make $350,000 a year. It's shocking, but no, for some reason, they don't usually pay a person who's in the base medrash that way.
That is
it's
shocking.
Just not that way. I know, when I was in Kollel, no, as much as the Israeli Lily's trying to make it out that the Kobo guys are making like $7 billion a year. You're making 700 shekel. And if you ever want to know what you can do with 700 shekel, just go to El Gaucho's once. You'll know exactly what you can do with 700 shekel a month. And even then, I wasn't so sure I ever got it. It's like that. If you're always in the base metrics, it's like that. Unlike Zvulun, who's traveling far and wide, that's the concept of what the Zohar is trying to say, right? That he's saying he accepts upon it. He has no expectations. He lives a life filled with pain, and he's fine with it. He never bites back. He never kicks back. He never says to a sparkle, what in the world's going on here? That's why you should live your life as a donkey and not like any other creature. That's a great Zohar. The Kli Yakar says a little bit different. It says a donkey is never separated from its package. You should know, by the way, I've never seen this, and I tried looking for it quite a bit, but the Gemara says that the donkey has a very cold body, and it has to be warmed up at times, so sometimes it's even happier to have a package on its back to keep it warm. To be able to keep it warm. I've never really checked it up. But the Kli Yakar says that based on that, since the donkey never takes its package off, a Talmid Chacham can never take his mind off of learning. He's always got to have his mind in learning in some way. You should know. It's just a crazy thing. This morning, I'm giving shir on something. We were talking about a Gemara. It's a Gemara in... this Gemara specifically is in Kiddush and Chof Tes. It's dealing with Abaye and the seven-headed demon. So I was giving an agada to Gemara. We're going through the Gemara and I was explaining some of the pshatim behind it. Everything I said, this guy was quoting from a comic book. You would have loved it, Rav. Okay, he was quoting from a comic book. He's quoting like Batman comics and like Superman comics, like a different comment off everything I was saying. Like after a while, like I thought it was cute. The first time I was like, that's cute. Second time I was like, that's a geek. Third time I was like, all right, this is annoying already, right? The fourth time I looked at her and I'm just like, you know that's what we're supposed to do for Torah. You read the comic book, she's like, oh, that reminds me of Bava Kama. You read the comic book and you're like, oh, that reminds me of the Pasuk in the Chumash. Oh, that reminds me of that shir that I heard from that guy. Not the other way around. We are reminded of a comic book every time you learn something. It shouldn't be that way. It should be the exact opposite. So says the Kli Yakar, that's the way the person has to be. Now, here's the deal. You leave home. You normally carry a memento on you to remind you of your kids and your wife, just in case you might forget what they look like. Right? You have a memento, something that you have, a picture in your wallet. You don't really need the picture in your wallet. You're not going to forget what your wife, kids, parents, anybody looks like. Nobody's really going to forget that. Nonetheless, you feel it. You look at that picture, you feel you're at home with them. You feel like you're still at home because you see the picture right on you. So even when you're traveling, even when you're going somewhere, you feel it right there. That's the shot behind Yisachar. He can go out on a ship somewhere in the middle of nowhere and he'll still feel like he's at home in the base medrash because he'll have his learning with him at all times inside his head. And that's what it means by a chamor. Never separated from his package, always with his eyes to the front, seeing where he should go, but nonetheless knowing that he can't be separated. The Alinu Shabbat, Sefer Alinu Shabbat brings down the story about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I never knew this story. He said it's a little known story about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger used to get very, very sick. He used to cough up blood while he was learning. Sick, right? That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I mean, they say Rabbi Akiva Eiger had so many yisurin. Like he had so many diseases and he was sick for so long. He just had a weak constituency. And he was always, always sick in some way, shape, or form. His sons wanted him to go on vacation. They wanted him to breathe, you know, clean air, other than the air that was imposing in the city where he lived. They wanted him to go out and be in a nice hotel and a nice comfortable chair and everything. But of course, Rabbi Akiva Eiger was never going to say yes. There's no way he was ever going to say yes to that. Okay, so they had to trick him. So what did they do? So they didn't tell him that they were going to do anything. They lifted him up off the chair one morning and put him in a coach. Okay, put him in a coach. They all got in the coach with him, right? It just changes it differently because Rabbi Akiva Eiger wasn't Hasidish, so I'm not going to say wagon. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why I'm saying coach. So they put him inside the coach, right? They put Rabbi Akiva Eiger there. They put all the people around him, right? All the sons around him. And he sat there, and he wouldn't have known that he was in a coach. He sat there learning the entire time, did not look up the entire trip, didn't look outside to go see where he was. And this is Rabbi Akiva Eiger, okay, at the age of 75, 80, I don't know how old he was at the time. They brought him to a nice hotel. They traveled for a long time, hours to be able to get to this place. They brought him to a really nice hotel. Took him out, got his room ready. When he was ready, they brought him out from the carriage itself, from the wagon itself, wagon, from the, what do they call it, the coach. They brought him out from the coach. They brought him inside the room, and they sat him down on a plush armchair, on a really nice plush armchair. Rakiv Eger was still reading, still had the staper in his hands, still learning the entire time, had absolutely no idea where he was. Finally, after however long it was, he stopped learning for a second, looked down at his chair, looked up at them, and said in Yiddish, "Where's the baby?" They all said, "What are you talking about?" They said, "Where's the baby?" He absolutely thought he just repeated his question. So what's the job? He had no idea where he was. He assumed he was brought to a bris. And he assumed, because the only other time he had ever been in a comfortable chair, when he's at home, he's in a regular wooden chair. When he's in the base medrash, he's sitting on a bench. Right? The only time he's in a comfortable chair is when he's in Kiseh Shel Eliyahu. So the only thing he could think of when he was sitting in a comfortable chair was not vacation. It was not, "I'm in a hotel room." The only thing he could think of is, "It's a Kiseh Shel Eliyahu, so where's the baby?" That's the only thing that he was possibly able to say. And that's a person whose mind is so indelibly impressed with Torah that you can't do anything else. You can't think of anything else. I don't know if anybody read this, in the Mishpacha magazine, I think it was 2 weeks ago, they had something with Aaron Leib Shimon. You see it at all? Aaron Leib Shimon is a gadol in Eretz Yisrael that we literally know nothing about. Nothing. Because he never tells anybody anything about himself. Just read the stories of what it was. Aaron Leib Shimon was so poor when he was a kid. So poor, I couldn't believe this. That when he was 4 years old, he remembers going to a person's house, a guest's house, and they poured him a white liquid. And he wouldn't drink it because he didn't know what it was. It was milk. He had never seen milk before. Is that unbelievable? 4 years old. He had never seen it. That's how poor he was. It talks about like what he was. Rav Aaron Leib Shimon was an unbelievable Mosman. He still is. That's the line that you ever seen. Okay, that's that. New. Number four, our fourth idea of why, like a chamor, why this. You suffer, and any Talmud Chacham should be able to feel menuchas nefesh and hashket a goof in order to learn. You should know the Rabbeinu Tam used to have a bag of gold coins on his table when he would learn. Rabbeinu Tam was very wealthy. He was one of the wealthy Balei Tosfos. He used to have a bag of gold coins on his table, and while he was learning, he put his hand in the gold coins and sipped through the coins. Be able to go through the coins. You know why? He said that if you have menuchas nefesh, you feel like you're taking care of Parnassa. What? He's a leprechaun. No. Or he wasn't giving away the pot of gold. But either way, but he put his hand inside, and the reason why is because he didn't want to feel like he should be worried about anything. The learning was fine. He didn't have to worry about anything. Says to Rabbeinu Bachaya, that's the way you should always feel. A Talmud Chacham should feel that he's not bothered, not worried about anything. And this Yisachar is being blessed, that he should be like a donkey. The same way a donkey concentrates only on the package on his back and nothing else. He doesn't worry about anything else. He's able to concentrate only on that. So too, a Talmud Chacham should only concentrate on what's at hand. Don't worry about all the other things that come into the head. That's the way a true Yisachar should be. Number five, a donkey has a very strong jaw. He has the ability to break bones with its powerful jaws. That refers to a Talmud Chacham who breaks his fellow Jews in Halachos and Dinim, telling them things that they didn't know and knocking them down from what they originally thought. Well, I think like this, says Yisachar, not a chance. This is the shot behind it. He's able to get this down. Says the Bereishis Rabbah, that's the Medrash Rabbah, that's what you get out of Yisachar. Number six, says the Chidah. Now, again, this is something that I didn't want to look up. I'm not a big donkey guy, but the Chidah says that when you look at a donkey, you can see the bones sticking out from the different areas of its body. It doesn't have a large amount of fat on its body. In other words, the flesh is sort of right above, and you can see the bone structure of the donkey. Even if it's well fed, you can see the bone structure of the donkey right over there. I guess it has a quick metabolism. You know, it's able to get it down. I have absolutely no idea, but that's what it sounds like. The Rabbeinu Bachaya and Ibn Ezra both say it is little flesh, a big bone structure. That's what it is. So that's what it is. This clarity is unlike other animals. That's clarity that you don't see anything else. It has a more muscular structure than a cow, which is a lot of fat, or a sheep that has a lot of fat. It doesn't have something like that. So too, you suckers, Tyra, you'll be able to see it from the inside. It'll be clear, concise, right to the point. Everything you need, it'll be right there. And that's how Yisachar would be Zoka, to be the Yodei Bina Le'itim, that they understand things very clearly, and they can tell you exactly what they mean. Even though Torah normally has the ability to weaken a person who learns it, Toshia, says the Gemara. Nonetheless, it's different. What?
And they look very well fed.
Okay, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Even being like skeletal in any way. That one specifically.
Is that a picture of a donkey? Is that a picture, a hieroglyphic of a donkey?
From Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, from Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore.
Eeyore
is not a Pooh, and we talked about Eeyore already. Eeyore is a patched animal. He's got patches all over his body. By the way, yeah, I'm still going to go with the Chida over Google, but...
I mean... Picture's worth a thousand words.
But you can see its teeth. Oh, you mean the one from Shrek. That's what you're referring to over here.
These donkeys.
I guess it means that there's somewhat over there, especially, like
it's
something like that.
Your belly. Yeah. That looks like a small horse.
Yeah, that does look a small horse.
Well fed.
Well, that's a nose. And plus, why am I looking? I have no idea what's going to come up over there, so we are not looking at this anymore. But anyway, regardless, right? That's that. Do you remember the time when people didn't have Google? while you give it to you. I am going with the Chida over here, nonetheless. Now, that's the idea behind it. There's more, says the Chida. If it's done correctly, then Yisachar will own Olam Hazeh. We know that Olam Hazeh, this world, was given over to Esau. And since it was given over to Esau, we should have no part in it. But if you learn Torah, you're the reason why the world exists. Since you're the world, why the world exists. Therefore, you get something in this world. Thus, look at what it says. Chamor Garem. The donkey, or donkey also can mean Chumrius. He causes the world to be, all of Chomer in the world to exist because of what Yisachar is doing. That's the idea behind it. He, so to speak, his Sobo, he puts on his shoulders the world, like Atlas, allowing the whole world to be on top of him. Says Rabbi Lazar Bluzhinsky, I have no idea who this is or where I got this from. It was in my notes from 2003. So I can't tell you where this is from. But Rabbi Lazar Bluzhinsky said he once walked by a quarry, saw them loading stones on donkeys, and then they walked uphill with a huge burden on its back. Think about it. Rocks. You're talking about pure rocks sitting on its back, and it would walk straight up a mountain. One donkey, once they put the rocks on its back, it looked up and saw the road. He's like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not going anywhere. He wouldn't move.
Donkeys are part of the horse's donkeys. You can't overload a donkey.
Can't overload a donkey.
It won't go.
So look what it says. This donkey didn't move. So what did they do? They put a blanket over its head. They put a blanket over its head, and it couldn't see anything. It could only see the few steps in front of it, and it was able to walk step by step. If you look at the whole immense burden of the job, it's going to get overwhelmed. But a donkey won't do that if you put the right thing in front of it. You blind it, so to speak, the blinders, that it'll take step by step by step until it's all the way on top of a mountain. And that, says Reb Lazar, is how you learn. You do step by step by step until you don't even realize that you just covered an entire mountain. That's the way to be able to learn. You hear that, Lawrence? That's a great idea. That is a very, very strong idea. I liked it a lot. That's the pshat behind it. Now turn the page over here. It says, the Sforno says this refers to the strength of a person who knows that in order to balance something, in order to get it on your back, the balancing act that you have to have one on one side being heavy and the other on the other side being the same type of heaviness. If you don't have that, if you have it on one side, you're just going to fall over. Somehow he's able to do both at the same time and he's able to make it go, and that's the way a Talmid Chacham should be. A person who knows that he has to balance learning together with his working. He can balance on both sides and be able to learn and work at the same time, even though it's very difficult to do so. A donkey's strength is that he can even lie down with the two packages on both sides. And thus, the proper Talmid Chacham should be able to find the time to do whatever he needs to do with those packages on its back. The Rashbam and the Midrash Seichel Tov says it's very different from Zvulun. We know what Zvulun did in order to make his money. Zvulun went out to sea with his merchandise. He was a merchant. He went out to other places, traveled around, and sold his wares wherever he went. Yisachar didn't do that. Yisachar worked his fields like a donkey, says the Rashbam, and like the Midrash Seichel Tov. He made sure that his needs were at home, so he'd be able to learn every evening instead of the merchant who has to go out. Listen, I hear from a lot of people that are traveling a lot of times during the week. It's impossible to learn. Yes, while you're in your hotel room, while you're on travel, in theory you have a couple hours to be able to kill. But it's very difficult when you're not at home, you're not in the same structure, you're not in the same place that you normally are, for you to get your normal Seder in like you want to get in. When you're in your home, when you have everything there, then everything's taken care of. When you're traveling, it's so difficult. What do you say?
You're out of your element.
That's exactly it. Unkulas translates it as rich in property. Maybe for the same reason. Maybe he says, Atzer Benichsin, he says, rich in property, because that's the the way to be a Yisachar. Not to travel or be a merchant in other places, but to be a guy who's working at home or meeting around his environs to give him the time to learn in the morning, to learn in the evening afterward. I still don't know. Obviously, we don't live in New York, right? The longest, you know, trip, I would ask my brother Rafa, he just went to that, but I would ask, what's the longest you've been to go to work in the morning? The longest travel time you've had?
Going to school.
So you have an hour and 15 minutes, right? When my brother worked in Rockford, I remember he had an hour and a half travel from one place to the other. An hour and a half altogether. He has a 2 hours. You'll have people like that? You'll have that? 2 hours to get to the south side? So interesting. Yeah, I guess during that time. See, I have a 10-minute drive in the morning. And right there, 10-minute drive in the morning, 10-minute drive in the evening, basically. I'm sometimes complaining when Tui takes me 12 minutes, you know? And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I got that extra 2 minutes. See, the difference is that there's a way. One of the brachas is Baruch Atah B'Avecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeifecha. One of the brachas is that your work is close to home. When your work is close to home, you don't have to worry about travel time, which means you don't have to worry about wasted time. You have so much extra time to be able to learn before you go to work, to learn after you go to work. That in and of itself is a tremendous bracha that is totally taken advantage of. If you live in a place like New York and you're traveling to Manhattan, I know people that wake up at 3:45 in the morning in order to get to work and don't come back until 10 o'clock in the evening. I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't understand how people do that.
A lot of times, like nowadays, we're not walking like for miles to get out from the field. Like,
you wish it was that way. And now people, because you can travel, yeah, if you're going, now people will take a plane instead of, you know, I'll go every month, they'll go every week. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll say, I might as well go. It's so easy to travel. It's a difference. It's a big difference. Now that I have a car, I will go to 6 or 7 stores to go find the best price, because I'm a Jew, rather than go to one store, which they did back then, and that's that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to go. I'm like, oh, I saved a penny. You wasted 12 hours for a penny. That's what you're able to do. So that's the idea behind it. The Bereishis Rabbah also says, you suffer in huge fields with massive fruits in it. And Zvulun would take those fruits, he'd bring them out, he'd use those as his merchandise, he would sell them to other people, and the people would say, where in the world do you get those fruits? He would say, you suffer has such fruits. They're like, we can't believe there's such a people like that. Zvulun would tell them, you got to see these you suffer guys. And the people would come visit, these non-Jews would come visit, they'd see Yisachar learning all day in the Beis Medrash, and at night going and picking a huge plum off the tree or a massive pumpkin out of the yard, and they would give it over to Zvulun for them to be able to sell somewhere. And they said, these people are ridiculous, and there would be Megayer. So listen to this, you ready? He was a Chamor Garem, get this? He was a Chamor that caused Gerim. He made Gerim in Klal Yisrael. That's how the Bereishis Rabbah puts it in Sadi Tes. What an unbelievable shot. Now, a couple little things over here. The Baal HaTorah in the Moshe Zakenim says, it references the Chamor bit, it references how he was born. Reuben brought in Dudayim for his mother. Remember those mandrake type of things? She traded them to Rachel, right? So she could be together with Yaakov on the night of Shavuos. That's what she did. She traded those flowers that Reuben gave her. As Yaakov was coming home, he turned to Rachel's tent, and his donkey brayed. The donkey that Yaakov was riding on brayed, which caused Leah to realize her husband was coming home. She ran out and turned him to come to her tent instead, causing Yisachar to be born. So the Chamor, the donkey of Yaakov, Garem, caused Yisachar to be born. That's the idea behind it. So that's that. In fact, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, this is what caused him and other Talmidei Chachamim to require travel in order to learn. Because Leah went out to get Yaakov to come to her tent. Therefore, Talmidei Chachamim need to move around as well. That wasn't Miderech HaMusar, says the Orach Chaim, for the woman to go after the man. It should be the opposite way around. Therefore, the children born from that relationship has this within them. In order to get that sweetness of Torah, you need to travel around and find it, so to speak. An American needs to go to Eretz Yisrael to go find a yeshiva that they're going to enjoy learning in. That's the idea behind it. Of course, it's Skokie, but for those who don't have it, right, there's other places where you can go to find the sweetness of Torah. That's the idea. Oh, better yet, people from New York, in order to find that sweetness, have to come to Chicago. That would be even better. The Torah Shlema. Torah Shlema brings a different medrash, and I've never heard this medrash before. Now, I heard something like this, I just didn't realize it was brought down in the medrash itself. I thought it was sort of whatever. But the Reuven was walking in the fields and saw a certain plant. He didn't know what it was. He tied his donkey to it, and he walked ahead a bit further. The donkey pulled up the plant out of the ground. The plant was Dudayim. They're called mandrakes, and mandrakes make a huge, loud noise when they're pulled out of the ground, and anyone who hears it will die. So therefore, the donkey, when he heard it, Harry Potter has it as well. No, he's not from Harry Potter. I would say somewhat the opposite. I don't know if it's even from this, but there are some things, if you look up mandrakes and don'ts, but if you would look them up, then you do see that there was a theory that that's what they did. The donkey died, he realized this has a power over here, this plant, and he gave it to his mother, and listen to this, she didn't give it to Rahul Imenu, she kept it for herself, according to this medrash. And she had to suffer. Even though Rachel asked for it, Leah said no. Leah said no, kept the dudayim and had to suffer because of that. Yeah.
The donkey that pulled the mandrake out died.
Yeah.
And Reuben realized that it had a power.
Reuben realized, yeah.
It
yeah.
power to kill something if it
screams, right.
Why would you give it to his mother?
He's like, well, no, not for death reasons. I would assume it's because now it's dead. Now it's dead. Look, I've never seen anybody that had this thing. Have you ever seen this before? He wanted to show his mommy what it was. His mom's like, oh, that's mandrakes. I've heard great things about mandrakes. And realized there was a school behind it, and I think that the Moshe Zakenim says also, the cries of this plant are can kill those who hear it. Again, so that's amazing. Yeah, I believe in Harry Potter, they have to put on those, that to muffle their ears when they put it on. Tremendous. I wish I never would have read that book. And just looked up the Torah Shlema and just seen it in there. Instead, I would have been able to have it. Anyway, the Ksam Sofer says the physical world. Now we're going to get into, you know, we're getting into the more Hasidisha answers over here. So you got to pay attention for this one. Here's the Hasidisha answers. The Ksam Sofer says the physical world allows us to make bad decisions. It separates us from true Avodas Hashem, the highest of the heights, the reason to do the right thing in this world. Hashem realizes that in this world, what are you going to do? You can't overcome your desires, your base desires. If you turn from the proper path, you're going to have terrible results, devastating results. The key is to know that you have this chamor around you, chomer, this physicality, the coarse reality that is there, surrounds you at all times, and therefore you have to set limits and borders that you will not cross this line. And that's robeitz beina mishpesoyim. You're always in between two walls. You're always mugdar, fenced in, so to speak. And that way you know you won't cross any lines. When I came from Israel, I made three rules for myself. Three rules that I will never be over on while I'm in America. There are certain things that I said I wouldn't do, and I did anyway, but there are three things. One of them is movie theaters, 100%, that I would never, ever go to a movie theater. I've held it, and there are two other things that I've made sure I will not do it no matter what. And they're hard things, but nonetheless, especially being in America, they're difficult things to do. But nonetheless, you have three things, you make it up, and say whatever it is, but you need to have gedarim, says the Ksam Sofer, and that's what it means. Chamor garem. The physicality of the world can cause you to be a different person. So robeitz beina mishpesoyim, allow yourself to be walled in and not allow yourself to be broken out and just do whatever you want to do. The Kedushas Levi says, real reward is when you have a taiva goodness, a desire in your heart to do something, your body is sunk in a world of depravity, of disgustingness around here, and you break out and you serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu property. That is the real deal. You need those taivas. You need the evil around you to become a greater person. That's that. So thus, yesh schar. Do you get it? Yisachar. Yesh schar. When your chomer, your physicality, is goring you to do bad things, and your robeitz, you lie yourself down and you stay away from them. You get it? You get the schar when you do that. That's a Kedushas Levi. That's a pure Chassidus Shavuot. That's the definition of a Chassidus Shavuot. The Alshich says you only get schar by turning your chomer into something holier. That's what Yisachar did. And the Ksam Sofer in Torah Moshe says, just like a person is chayv to keep Torah and mitzvos, he's not allowed to deprive his body of what it needs either. Meaning, we've been saying how evil physicality is. Nonetheless, says the Ksam Sofer, you can't live your life depriving yourself of your basic needs. You need that. Another, in a way, is considered a chote. He might be kadosh, but nonetheless, he's also a chote by not allowing himself to get involved in things that he needs, and that's the pshat over here. This is a chiv. It causes others to realize the greatness of the Torah when they see that you're willing to be this person who's kulo Torah, you're all Torah and everything, and yet you still find time to make sure that your body is healthy and it has what it needs and you don't look like whatever it is.
So how do you balance that?
That's for every individual person.
So I'm saying, like, so So that's the whole point, like right here, it's to walk that middle path and utilize
time. Correct. That's exactly the derech hamamutza. That's bina mishpatoyim. You get it? Mm-hmm. Between the paths. In other words, be the derech hamamutza right in the middle. I can't answer that for anybody, you know, anybody generally, but I can answer. Hillel HaZaken told his talmidim to shower, to make sure to shower. Now remember, it was not easy to shower back then. It's basically like a yeshiva guy nowadays. It's just not easy. You don't have the time, and it took a long time to heat up the baths, and you had to go somewhere to get it. Water was at a premium. It was a difficult thing to do, but Hillel would tell people.
He shower before he died.
Hillel
was destroyed. He took a like.
Not that I remember.
To take a shower before he died.
Maybe washed his hands.
I think the bathe before he died.
Okay, I don't remember that exactly. I remember Rocha to dying, but I don't remember specifically.
He asked him something about that, and he...
No, this is it.
This is it.
Hillel told the students, you must shower. You have to bathe your body, right? And he said the line, Gomel chesed lach sanya dein. Do chesed for this guest that you have amongst you, your body. You have to make sure that you have something like that. Our last thing over here is going to be a little bit of esoteric, more so does it sort of the Kabbalah involved. Seder Adoros and the Rabbeinu Ephraim say there is a connection between Yisachar and Rabbi Akiva. In Pesachim Mem Tes, Rabbi Akiva said, when I was in Alma Aretz, I wanted to bite a Talmud Chacham like a chamor. He said I wanted to bite them like a donkey. He said, I didn't understand what they were doing, and I hated them. I wanted to bite them like a donkey. So the Talmudim says, oh, Rabbi, stay like a dog. You wanted to bite them like a dog. And he said, no, donkeys break bones. And dogs don't break bones. I wanted to bite them like a donkey that breaks the bones of a Talmud Chacham. So, in fact, he might be saying, what he said over there may have been the reason why he had to be punished with such a horrible death. What he said about Talmud Chacham in the beginning may be why he needed to have such a terrible death of having his flesh combed off at the end of his life. And he accepted that fate willingly. But that's the connection. He was a chamor. Said Rabbi Akiva. He called himself Chamor. Yalkut Ruveni says this pasuk is a hint to Rabbi Akiva. Listen to this. He was the Chamor who was there by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the beginning of the final Golos. Why a donkey? He took the burden of Klal Yisrael on his back. And he was Beina Mishbesoyim. He was right by the final Golos. Right? The final Golos when the final Golos started. And he turned his shoulder toward the burden. By Yet Shich Molis Bo. He turned his shoulder toward the burden, accepting the din of Hashem to die al Kiddush Hashem, even though he could have used Shemos, names of God, to get out of death. Even when Lamas, he was being destroyed, giving over to the Satan, Samkel, he was Oved Hashem and died with the word Echad. Now, if you look at the pasuk, I didn't quote the other pasuk over here, but it says over there, after it says this whole thing, it says, Chamor Garam, right? Rovitz Benimish Pasayim. It says, at that point, he was Vayit Shechmo Lisbo. He turned his shoulder to accept the burden, and then it says, Vyi Lamas Oved. Meaning Lamas, he was given over to the Satan. Even at that moment, he was an Oved Hashem, and he gave himself up by saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And this whole thing is a remez, says the Rabbeinu Ephraim, really in the Seder Adoros as well, to Rabbi Akiva coming from Yisachar, being connected with Yisachar in some way, shape, or form. What we have so far, what we spoke about was, we gave all together six reasons in learning why a donkey is compared to somebody who's a Talmud Chacham. Gave six reasons. We then gave the idea of balancing your learning together with your money, the ability to go out and work. We then said that it caused Yisachar to be born in some way, shape, or form. And then we said the Hasidisha answers of what it means, Chamor, that the Chumrius of the world affects you. And finally, when the idea that Yisachar is like Rabbi Akiva. We're going to stop with that, guys. Have a good show.